Psalm 121. Have you ever done something and realized that you were doing it all wrong? And have you ever done something that over and over and over again, and you get halfway through it and you realize, oh man, I forgot, you know, there's a better way to do this, or you know, there's this, there's a secret to getting it done quicker or better or whatever. And you know, there's all kinds of little tasks or all kinds of little, little things that we do that we find, helpful hints along the way, or we find ways to do things better. And sometimes we forget that. And this morning, as I go through these questions of why, this morning I want to ask the question, why do I need to be reminded so often? Why do I have to be reminded about things that I knew or that I thought I knew, or that, you know, why do I constantly need gentle reminders? Psalm 121 is a gentle reminder that sometimes the great surprise of the Christian life is the trouble that we meet. Because a lot of times, and I think even after we've been on the Christian way, in a relationship with the Lord, doing, you know, we find it at least frustrating that it isn't easier. Is that, I mean, am I the only one who struggles? I feel like, A, at this point in the game, it should be easier for me. I should know better than a lot of things that I do. Or at least after I've been trying this hard for this long, God ought to be giving me some breaks by now. I mean, haven't I earned a couple of passes on some of these hardships? I mean, haven't I earned at least God strike one of these people that are giving me such a hard time? I mean, one lightning bolt, is that so hard? Is that so, I mean, can you just pave the way for me a little easier? I mean, look at all I'm doing. And we all feel that way, don't we? When things, you know, when we meet this trouble, because you, a lot of people feel like, and the reason they feel this way is because, you know, all you have to do is go into the religious section of the TV, of the, you know, the television, and listen to some of these preachers that are spewing out this health and welfare gospel that come to the Lord and He will solve all your problems. And people think that if I just give my life to the Lord, then all of my relationships, all of my business decisions, all of my this, all of that, this will just be some, I mean, God, He's just up there with this bucket of blessings and He's just waiting to pour them out on people. And those, by the way, those blessings are financial stability, relationship stability, all of the, you know, those are the blessings. To speak nothing of just joy and hardship and understanding and doubt and all that. But none of these blessings are all about physical things. And don't we find that the big surprise is that's a lot of times not the case. I mean, give your life to the Lord and you'll feel better and your health will just be, you know, a cornucopia of healthiness. And that's not the case. And that's a surprise. Over and over again, it's a surprise. But we need to be reminded. In Psalm 121, it's a reminder that things are difficult and a lot of times we're looking for love in all the wrong places. There was a song about that, about looking for love in all the wrong places. And it was about a guy looking for the perfect girl, and he's going to, you know, he thinks he's going to find it here, and he thinks he's going to find it there. And, you know, and we all know if you want to find the perfect girl, just come to church, right? But that wasn't in the song. But he was looking for love in all the wrong, and all these women that he found, there was just one disappointment, one letdown, one heartbreak after another. The crazy thing is that we still go all those same places looking for solutions that just aren't there. You know, it's like when I was a kid, I would tell my mom when things hurt, and I would say, you know, my arm hurts when I do this, or, you know, man, whenever I do this right here, you know, my arm really hurts. You know what she would tell me? Yeah, stop doing that. You know, when I jump off this, you know, man, really my legs, I would think there's something wrong with my legs. No, there's something wrong with what you're doing, dummy. Guy goes to the doctor, said, "Doc, I broke my arm in three places." Doctor says, "Stay out, stop going to those places." But we do, we keep going to those same places. We're looking for love, you know, and it just, it never ceases to amaze me how much easier it is sometimes with a gentle reminder. I remember trying to change the blade on my lawnmower living in St. Louis. And we had this neighbor named Eddie. And Eddie was just a couple of years older than me, not a lot, but just a couple of years, but he just knew so much. He was an electrician, and man, he just knew a lot of things. And I knew that Eddie was always watching me do stuff and just laughing to himself. And I'm trying to change the blade on this lawnmower, and I go to the Lowe's and I get the right, or Home Depot there, and I get the right blade, and I come home and I get this, I get the wrench, and I get the lawnmower all turned over. And I think, man, I'm doing this great because I drained all the oil out, and then I drained all the gas out, and I thought, okay, because, you know, Eddie's going to be proud. So then I turn it over on its side, and I get this wrench, this is a crescent wrench, and I'm just pulling on this thing. And I'm thinking, okay, lefty loosey, righty tighty, and I want, okay, I'm doing it right. So I'm and I get this, and I pull it off and just, you know, almost break my arm. Okay, crescent wrench is not the right tool. So I go and I get, go through all this piles of unorganized, different sized wrenches, and I get like nine of them out there, and I try to finally find the one that fits, and I'm just, okay. So then I get this big pipe, and I put the wrench on there, and I get this pipe, and I'm getting leverage, and it won't go, and I mean, I have veins popping out, and just sweat just spurting out, and then what happens? The wrench pops off the big nut down there, and it just goes flying. So, all right, okay, I can handle this. I get some vice grips. Put the wrench on there, put the bar on there, take some vice grips, and I clamp them on there as a barrier, as like a wrench dam, if you will, that will not let the wrench come off this way. And, I mean, I've got this apparatus created here holding this thing on, and nothing. Eddie walks over, and he says, "Mowers turn the other way." Oh. Turn everything over. Bing, comes right off. Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate that. I was doing the whole thing wrong. It was embarrassing. Yes. At this point in my life, I'm used to that. But the point is that I could sit there all day tugging on that thing. It was never going to come off. I mean, I was using the right tools. I was using my intellect to figure out how to get these tools to work in concert with one another. And it was just, but I was going about this thing entirely wrong. And it was never going to work. What I needed was this gentle nudge in the right direction. And Eddie was gentle. Didn't call me any names. Didn't laugh at me. He's in the middle of doing something. Walked over, working on. Yeah, just, you want to go the other way with that. Okay. Have a nice day. Gentle. I mean, where are we? We need reminders that so often we're doing it wrong. We're looking for stability in the hills. We're looking for stability with along the way with better shoes. Maybe better shelter. Maybe better plans. But God says, no, it's not going to be that way. Don't look where you're looking. Look to me. He comes up in Psalm 121. He says, "You guys, you're doing this wrong." And here's a gentle reminder. And he gives us these traveler's advisories. Remember last week we talked about it's time for us not, or maybe it was the week before that, we talked about it's time for us not to be members of the church, but we are to be pilgrims going somewhere. I mean, we are these, you know, pilgrims who are on a mission headed somewhere. And so there's, along the way, we have these traveler's advisories. He says, "My help comes from the Lord. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel, will not slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. He's shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day." See, he's already said your foot will not slip, the sun will not harm you, nor the moon by night. God understands there's trouble, and there's advisories that he gives us along the way. The first travel advisory that he says, travelers, be warned of loose stones. He says, guys, your foot is going to slip because on this earth, so often things are not what they appear to be. Wes and I have learned this many occasions. There are times in a man's life when he gets into a situation and he looks around and he thinks, how did I get here? Now, a lot of those episodes, ever since Wes and April have been members here, have when Wes looks around to ask, how did I get here? I'm standing there, usually with a group of teenagers that are looking at Wes saying, what do we do? One such occasion, we had, we'll say, about 75 teenagers out in the woods. It felt like 75. Maybe there was like 11 of them, but it felt like there was a lot. And if you've ever taken teenagers backpacking, it's honestly like herding flaming kittens. I mean, they are angry, running in a lot of different directions, and when you get a hold of them, they hurt you. I'm telling you. And so there was one time when we're backpacking somewhere, in seemed like Beirut, and there was a stream that we had to cross, and it was a little chilly, and there was a lot of them. And so we were trying to get across this stream, and, you know, there's rocks in the stream, and we kept telling them, be careful, be careful. Well, they just, sometimes when you're trying to cross a stream, it looks like a great place to put your foot until you actually put your foot there, and then it turns over, and now you're in the water. They don't like that when they do that. God says, guys, you're going somewhere. The ground beneath you is going to be deceptive at times. And don't worry, I'm not going to let you meet your demise crossing a river or walking down a, you know, you're going to stumble, but I'm not going to let your foot slip. You say, well, God, I beg to differ, but my foot has slipped. He says, travelers, be warned of this sunstroke that's out there. You know, when you're walking along and you're, you know, the heat of the day is bearing down and all you want to do is stop and rest, but you have to keep going because there's somewhere that you're headed and you need to get there. But so often it's so hot, it's so oppressive that we, in order to avoid this, we stop. But he says, guys, don't worry about it. I will keep you from being oppressed by the sun. But God, I beg to differ. I've suffered that anxiety. I mean, I've suffered that heat stroke. I've suffered that weariness from just the toil of the road. I've suffered that. And then he says, be warned of emotional illness. That's what the writer there means when he says, what's the wording he uses? He'll not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. You think, well, how does the moon harm you? Well, it's not really the moon. It's talking about, it's really the idea of lunacy. Luna, the moon, it's just, you know, it's like sunstroke, there's moonstroke. It's just the idea of the emotional toil, the emotional illness of the journey, whatever journey that might be. He says, guys, I will keep you sane through this. Is there ever time when you think, man, am I crazy? I mean, I deal with these people at work and I say this and this and it makes sense and they just don't get it. And then they persecute me and I'm trying to help. Am I crazy? Or maybe with children where you're just not doing what you think they ought to be doing, and you do everything in your power, everything in your entire parental repertoire to get them to to be the kind of people or do the kind of things. And when they don't, you think, I'm going nuts here. And God says, guys, I'll keep you from that. He says, but Lord, I've suffered those things. That might be the case. So we have to ask ourselves, is there really gold in them there hills? I mean, that's what he says. Do I look to the hills? I've got this picture of these gold miners in the gold rush of California in the early, late 1800s, 1900s. It wasn't the life that they thought it was going to be. There was some, very few, who struck it rich. But for the most part, it was tragic. It was dreary. It was crime-ridden, disease-infested, hard work, no payoff kind of life. But they found a lot of gold. Oh, yeah, they did. They did find a lot of gold. You know what they did with it? They spent it, partied on it, they ate the food that came with it, all that, and then it was gone. The whole point of this, Jeremiah 3 and 23 says, the hills are a delusion. The hills are a delusion. Now, why does he bring up the hills? Why does he say, where does my help come from? Does it come from the hills? I don't know about you, but I've never, ever thought, oh, if only I could just get to the hills. You know, the hills have the answer. But in the context that he's writing it, a lot of people thought the hills were the answer. You remember in 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles where you read about all the kings of Israel and all the kings of Judah? And there's one in particular that I like at first, and then it's tragic at the end. His name is King Asa. And you can read about him in 1 Kings 15, and you can read about him in 2 Chronicles and in 17. And it said, King Asa, and he was a young guy when he became king, King Asa did what was right in the sight of God. I like that part. It says that he tore down all the Asherah poles and all the altars of Baal and all the high places. See, the context of this psalm is that the hills where all the idol worship took place. That's where all the high places, the altars to Asherah, or the altars to Baal, the sacred places, all of that took place. So a person in Israel, a Hebrew of that day, when things were going wrong, when they weren't nothing going right, when all the confusion, when all of the sunstroke and the illness and the delusions and all that were going on, and they would look up into the hills, and there's all these people worshiping idols, and seemed like, oh man, life is great up there, because they hear all of this revelry and partying and excitement and all of that coming from the hills. And so they would think, oh, the answers must be in those gods. Only to find out that they're looking for love in all the wrong places. Because when they get there, they find that the cries of joy are really cries of anguish, as children are being sacrificed to a God that doesn't exist. And mothers are crying. And fathers are gnashing their teeth in regret of what they thought would be the answers. But when they get there, the tragedy becomes very real. And isn't that so often the case, as we look for gold in the hills and the fortune and the money and the relationships and all of those things that'll cure all of what ails me? And God says help comes from the Creator, not the creation. Help comes from the one who should be your traveling companion. In this pilgrimage, the question becomes, who is your traveling companion? Because God says, guys, in Romans chapter 8, remember we were there a few months ago, Romans 8:28, and in Romans 31 through 32, he says, God works for the good for all those that love Him. He goes on to say in 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. See, not that we will never stub our toe. Not that we will never stumble, because we've stumbled, haven't we? Not that we will never suffer from the heat or the exhaustion of the journey, because we have, haven't we? Not that we will never suffer the emotional illness of a world that is no friend to the grace of our God, because we've all been there. But God is saying that the injuries that you may or may not face in this world because of me, none of them are fatal. Nothing can separate you. Don't look to the hills. Don't look to the gold. Don't look to other people. Don't look for a more comfortable shoes. Don't look for a way to build better shade. Don't look for any of those things. Look to me, because I will never let you down. I will never let you die spiritually. Nothing will separate you. None of this is spiritually fatal. What this psalm is a gentle reminder to us is that the God of the big things, you know, the God of Genesis 1, the let there be light, the God of the big things, the God who said, you know, stars, bang, 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 He's the God of the little things too. Because, you know, the let there be light moments, Those don't concern me. You know what really tests my faith? It's when I stub my toe. It's when I fall down along this. It's when I'm let down in the daily relation. That's what gets me. It isn't the big thing. It isn't the cosmic truths. It's the little day-to-day toe stubbings that drive me insane. And God says, don't forget me. Don't forget me in those little moments when you think it's just you and that searing pain in that toe that you just, I'm still there. And somehow, I don't know how, just like I don't know how light just happened, I don't know how God makes, at the end of the day, makes it all okay if I just depend on Him and remember, have that gentle reminder. You know, guys, you're going to stub your toe, but it's not fatal. You're going to wither in the heat, but it's not going to kill you. And sometimes you're going to think you're crazy. You're going to think you're going nuts in the middle of all this, but you're not. And I haven't left you, and I'm not going to. Remember that. Remember God big. In our lives, there's more small than there is. We're about to sing a song about how great He is. God is great. And I want to leave you with this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. To deviate from the truth for the sake of some prospect of hope of our own, can never be wise. However slight that deviation may be, it's not in our judgment of the situation which can show what is wise, but only the truth of the Word of God. What this martyred saint is saying to us is that in our pursuit of relief, trust God and nothing else. Would you worship with me as together we stand and as we sing?